Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website. Now, here's Ed.
4th of July weekend, years and years ago, I got together with some friends of mine. We'd formed a shark club. I was 18 years old. We made our way to Galveston, Texas to do some land-based shark fishing. I'm not talking about from a boat. I'm not talking about deep sea fishing. I'm talking about fishing for giant sharks from the beach. Why in the world we chose 4th of July weekend, I'll never know, but we did. We got there early. We met the shrimp boats and collected enough fish, enough chum to do the job. We loaded up the chum in my Cherokee Chief with a little rowboat and left the shrimp boats. We parked right in front of the flagship hotel. During that time, it was like the epicenter of Galveston. We jumped off the seawall, walked on a couple of rocks, and began to cut the bloody bait. We cut that bait up for hours and hours and hours. We cut the chum up. We got some stingrays from the shrimp boats. Stingrays are sharks' favorite foods, and we put those on the razor shark hooks of the giant rod and reel. We poured all of the chum in the bait buckets after we had cut it up. Then we put it in a little rowboat. Because, see, if you're land-based shark fishing, you can't cast a rod and reel this big out into the ocean. It's too big. I mean, look at this thing. This thing weighs about 30 pounds. We put the hook and the bait in the boat, rowed it offshore about 400 yards. Just took this. Hear that sound? And took it offshore. By this time, hundreds of people were swimming in the water around us. They had no idea we were shark fishing. They had no idea we had buckets and buckets of chum. We get out there behind the surf line and we drop the chum into the water. And I'm thinking, wow, this chum is all around the swimmers. This has got to be illegal. We then took those big honking hooks with those stingrays and dropped them into the murky waters of Galveston in the middle of the chum. We got the heck out of there. We rowed all the way back to the shore. So are you with me? We have the big rod and reel on the beach on a cooler. The bait is way out there soaking. The chum is working. And the big sharks are swimming. Ed, you mean to tell me big sharks swim that close? You better believe it. But they've told me, I went on this cruise and they told my wife and I that there were no sharks. They were lying. Sharks are everywhere. They're everywhere. We're waiting for the big shark. I put that Hawaiian tropic all over me. I was working on the ultimate tan back in the day. It was dripping off my nose. Triple degree heat. Now the crowds were swelling. I mean, people were thick swimming all around us. Again, they had no idea we were shark fishing. I saw some bloody pieces of fish kind of moving around in the current. I just acted like, whoa, okay, you know. After a while of waiting, the members of the shark club said, Ed, we're going to get something to eat. And my brother was one of those members, and they left me alone with the rod and reel. They were gone for a long time, like an hour and a half. So I'm there by myself on this rock with this giant rod and reel, Hawaiian tropic dripping all over me. Some other fishermen joined me. They can't speak English. They speak Spanish, and of course I can't speak Spanish. So I'm just kind of looking at them, and they're looking at me, and they're looking at the reel and like making jokes. You're laughing. I heard one say loco, but after a while, my my friends and my brother didn't come back, so I'm like, I'm getting worried about them. I hear some sirens going off and traffic jams and hundreds of people there, 4th of July weekend. So I just pointed to my Spanish-speaking friends. I said, pointed to the rod, you motion me if, you know, see. So I jumped down off the rocks and I began to walk along the beautiful seawall in Galveston, Texas, trying to find my brothers, trying to see my old Cherokee chief. They were in, couldn't see him. So I'm walking this way, I'll never forget it, on the seawall, and I happen to look back toward the rocks, and I see my friends. They're now surrounding my rod and reel, looking like, and then when I saw me, he was like this. When I saw him motion, it's one of the greatest feelings in my life. I think to myself, the big one has hit. The big one is on the line. I sprint down, and sure enough, I hear the sound that every fisherman loves to hear. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. I pick up this big outfit, set the hook, set those hooks in the jaws of this shark, and the fight is on. I'm slipping and sliding. I have the oil all over me. I had to put the rod like down in between my knees, and all of a sudden, a crowd of people starts gathering, and my friends are like, they just couldn't believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, I have got a bull shark on the end of my line. A bull shark has more testosterone than any animal on planet Earth. A bull shark will bite anything and anybody if they're hurt. I've had bull sharks bite props. I've had bull sharks bite the bows and the sterns of boats. I've had bull sharks bite push poles. The fish are crazy, man. They're just absolutely insane. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have a problem when I bring this angry and irritated bull shark onto the beach with hundreds and hundreds of swimmers. But I'm saying to myself, well, I'm just going to fight the shark right now. I'm going to worry about that later. Fighting the shark. And I'm thinking, where are the members of the shark club? Where are they? And then I look and I see them walking up the beach. Big old bags of Sonic. Those grease spots in the bottom. Hey, what are you doing, man? I'm fighting a shark! My brother starts eating a cheeseburger. I'm like, Ben, help me! I mean, I get intense when I fish, man. I freak out. I'm a very excitable fisherman. So we all began to pull on this massive leviathan. And sure enough, it's a bull shark. About 25 yards out, finally we see him, the fin. A little bit of blood coming out of his gills. He's getting closer and closer to the people. He's like, again, 25, 30 yards from hundreds of people. Swimming, 4th of July weekend on Galveston Island. I said, Ben, tell the people to get out of the water. Tell them to get out. And Ben's like, out of the water. It's a shark. Out of the water. They're just swimming along. They didn't speak English either. Finally, my brother, he's smart. He goes, El Sharko, El Sharko. When they saw that, out of an act of desperation, El Sharko, remember that. When they saw that and heard that, they began to just stream out of the water. It looked like a scene from Jaws. They were walking on the water. By now, traffic jam. People pouring down off of the seawall. Somebody had caught and hooked a giant shark. I didn't realize it, but again, we were breaking the law. So we get the shark in, and the shark this big, I mean, it was big to us. As we got him into about 2 feet of water, you can't pull him anymore. He's just stuck. Well, he's... And now hundreds of people taking pictures. So I approach the shark in water that deep. I mean, I'm slightly crazy. I'm telling you I am.
That's okay. Everybody's a little bit crazy. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a little bit crazy. That's good. That's good. But some people are crazy. And I'll tell you about that in a second. There's some people who are absolutely straightjacket crazy. We'll talk about that in a second. So I'm slightly crazy. I see this shark, and I'm approaching him with a rope in about 2 feet of water. He can still move a little bit, but I'm watching him. And all of a sudden he goes, he bites through the steel cable we had on the end of our line. Now, I walked on water on that one, bro. I turned. I was out of the water. There's always a crazy person in every crowd. I don't mean everybody's a little bit crazy, but there's a straitjacket crazy person in every crowd. At that moment, some dude broke from the crowd, jumped in the water, grabbed this bull shark's tail. I'm not lying, with my hand lifted up. Grabbed his tail. We were like, he drugged the shark. So the shark beached himself in about a foot of water. And then we took the rope, tied it around the shark's tail, pulled him on the sand. I promise you, there must have been 400 people surrounding us. This is awesome, man. Shark. And I'm going, we're going to get arrested. We're going to get arrested. We got to get this shark out of here. We got to get this shark out of here. So we pull the shark, drug the shark up the sand over the 10-foot seawall. I mean, I recruited every big muscular guy in the crowd. You know, guys, once you got a shark, man, we're like, yeah, we're into it. Pulled him onto the sidewalk. Horns honking. Traffic jam. Oh, my gosh. Where'd you get that shark? This bull shark's like, on the sidewalk. Then we taped and wired his jaws kind of shut, we thought, because I said, you know what? We're going to throw him in the back of my Cherokee. We're going to take this sucker home. So again, a lot of the guys in the crowd, it took about 20 of us, lifted this shark, threw him in the back of my Cherokee. This shark went ballistic in the car. Broke through the tape, started biting everything inside, coolers, the backs of seats. We all drove home from Galveston, sitting in the front seat together. The shark, his tail hanging out of the Cherokee, all the way home. And about an hour outside of Galveston, he went to be with the Lord. Would you like to see a picture? Yeah. There I am. That's me in the right. Yeah, did I have a tan or what? And that's one of my friends, one of the members of the Shark Club, who's now an attorney. It's interesting, shark attorney. Anyway, so we're there. There's the Cherokee. See it? I'm in my backyard. It's one of the highlights of my life. A big honking bull shark, 4th of July weekend in Galveston, Texas. This next shot shows us trying to remove the hook from those wicked jaws. I got the jaws in my office. I should have brought them, but I didn't. It was great. I get fired up even talking about it. I want to go shark fishing now. But I like to shark fish from land. Land-based shark fishing is where it's at. I mean, it's fun to do it in boats, but how about, let's get real and raw. Guys, let's just turn the testosterone on and fish from the beach. Fight these sharks standing up. What do you think? Let's do it. I wish we were in the ocean right now. Anyway, whew, I get too excited. When I tell that story, I think about several things. Number one, I'm crazy. Number two, there's nothing like land-based shark fishing. Number three, I think about today's subject matter, temptation. That whole deal was a process followed by an event, then an event followed by a process. That's temptation. The ultimate angler, I'm talking about the enemy himself, the devil, is fishing for you and me in this process called temptation. He has the chum. Maybe your chum. Who are you chumming around with? The chum is in the water. The stingray, the bait, is offshore. It's soaking. The chum is in the water. The bait is in the water. The bait's beautiful. The hook is hellacious. The bait is beautiful. The hook is hellacious. The bait is not the temptation. The temptation is the hook. You got to take a look at the hook. You got to look past the beauty of the bait to that hellacious hook. When the shark took the stingray, when he scooped it up off the bottom, that patriotic bull shark, as he was running off on 4th of July weekend, headed for Cuba, he's thinking, I've got some sushi. This is awesome. My favorite, a stingray. But he didn't realize the stingray had him. He didn't realize he had been hooked until he felt some tension, until he felt something was wrong with the situation. The process was when we worked our butts off to present the bait to him. The event was when he ate the stingray. And the process was the thrashing and the splashing and the potential collateral damage that could have occurred if we hadn't have gotten the people, El Sharko, out of the water. We caught him. We roped him. We threw him in the back of the truck and displayed him for everybody to see. That's what the devil wants to do in your life and mine. Temptation is a process followed by an event. Then it's an event followed by a process. When we take the bait, what's the bait? What's the bait? It could be to sleep in the wrong bed for those here who are married. The bait's beautiful. Sin is fun. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. The bait is to sleep in the wrong bed. The hook is a torn up marriage, kids, and the collateral damage that occurs when you do it your way and not God's way. It seems cool. It seems like you've gotten away with it. But the writer of James says, when desire gets together with will, you've got a little baby. The baby is sin. Sin has its kicks, but its kickbacks are wicked. Then the thrashing, the splashing. You've caught the fish. And the devil has a very impressive trophy room, doesn't he? He's an amazing taxidermist. A lot of people are displayed because they've been caught by temptation. The devil's fishing for you. What's he using as bait? Pride? That's a very common temptation. Pride is unique because unlike the other sins, people don't know when they're dealing with pride. It's crazy. You're like, hey, man, you're dealing with this or that. People are like, oh, yeah, I see it. I see it. I see it. My anger's out of control. I see it. I see it. I got this addiction to smoking weed. I see it. Methamphetamine. I see it. I see it. I got it, man. I got you. Yeah. Lust, man, that's me. I'm tempted and I log on to porn sites. I see that. Pride? No, I ain't got no pride problem. No, I'm not prideful. What do you mean? The person who's prideful, that's that person driving in the Bentley with the bling, who's like the man or the woman. I'm in the house. That's pride. I would argue, yeah, that is pride. That can be pride. We all know people like that. I would argue that some of the most prideful people are those who are prideful about their humility. Those who look conservative. Those people, though, who are all about themselves. What makes me look good, what gives me pleasure. When you talk to them, everything always comes back to you. Pride. When somebody shares something, they always got to one-up you. Pride. You can't commit any other sin unless you, first of all, commit the sin of pride. Pride, and the right of pride, has the ability to blind and grind and wind us up. And here we are just going through life like a robot. We don't know we're prideful. That's a real temptation. The temptation of prosperity is another one. People usually don't mess up when they're climbing the ladder. They mess up when they're at the top. David messed up when he was at the top of his game. Solomon messed up when he was at the top of his game. Be careful with success. Be careful with living in the zone. Be careful when you're blessed. Pride. Prosperity. Priorities. It's another temptation that we all face. I think it's funny when people say, Ed, I want to pray about my priorities. I'm like, man, that's a dumb prayer. Oh, I want to pray about my priorities. Girl, that's a ridiculous prayer. Don't even pray about it because the Bible's already settled our priorities. They're already there in the Bible. Don't pray about it. The enemy, though, has some bait that's beautiful. The hook is hellacious. He wants you and me to get involved in average stuff, good stuff, the Pac-Man, the great stuff. Priorities. I love the word priorities. It's advanced decision making. We agree with God about the priorities, so the decision has already been made what I'm doing next weekend. Priorities. The decision's already been made about a date night. The decision has already been made about spending that time and having the kids at age-appropriate teaching, serving in the house. The decision has already been made about what I'm going to do with my finances. Priorities. Priorities. The commitments are really the hook of the bait. So often we can get overcommitted, overstimulated, and over the top. I'm talking about temptation. When you're tempted, the Bible says in James chapter 1, when you're tempted, it's not a possibility, not a strong probability, it's a reality. When you're tempted, when you're tempted. A faith can't be trusted unless a faith is tested. The half-brother of Jesus uses trials, tests, and temptations in James. And the same word is used for all three. Trials, temptations, and testings. What are some fruits of tests, trials, and temptations? Last session, or if you're watching this on television, last week, we talked about the tough side of temptation. Let's talk about the tender side, the tremendous side of temptation. Did you know there's an upside to temptation? There is. The writer of James says in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says that we should have, number one, enjoyment during trials, tests, and temptations. That's unusual. Consider it pure joy, my brothers or my sisters. James 1, chapter 2. Whenever you face trials of many different kinds. Here's the tweet of this session. The tweet of this session. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Okay. Don't waste a trial because a trial can and will waste you. Don't waste a trial
Because a trial can and will waste you. A trial, a test, a temptation is there. God has allowed it. Nothing can happen to you or me unless God allows it. Doesn't always cause it. He allows it. God doesn't waste a trial. Don't you waste one either. In other words, to get to it, you got to go through it. Say it with me. To get to it, you got to go through it. That's you and me. That's you and me. That's you and me. Enjoyment. Now, this word enjoyment, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. In the literal language, many different colors, a kaleidoscopic range of trials, tests, and temptations. It doesn't mean we're like happy and peppy and bursting with love. Oh boy, I'm facing a trial. I'm facing a temptation. I'm facing a testing. Oh, this is, I just want to. No, it's not happiness. That's based on happenings. It's deeper. I've written an entire book about it. Outrageous, contagious joy. It's tranquility of the soul. Number one, when I face a temptation, for example, enjoyment. How can I have joy? Because I know great things are about to happen. Did you hear me? I know because the devil himself has picked me out. I know he's picking on me because he sees this awesome purpose around the corner. That'd be a good place to clap right now. Enjoyment. Number two, another fruit of temptation, endurance. Endurance, endurance. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Read endurance. The weakest virtue is one that hasn't been tested. You want a great marriage? Endurance. You want a great life? Endurance. You want a great career? Endurance. 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 That staying power, that commitment 2.0, that I'm going to hang in here come hell or high water. Yeah, I want to quit, but I know I'm not going to quit because I'm enjoying it. I had this joy. And because of joy, because I realize what's around the corner, I know God is building stuff in my life. Perseverance, endurance. That's one of the problems in our world today. One of the temptations in our world today. We want stuff now. Instantaneous, automatic, systematic. We don't want to wait. We don't want to allow God to build the incredible stuff that He wants to build in our lives through the process. The process of being a victor over temptation and not a victim. Perseverance, verse 4, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You got enjoyment. You got endurance. What are you going through right now? And you've got enlargement. Enjoyment, endurance, enlargement. You're mature. You're big. You're bad in Jesus' name. The prayer of Jabez. What did Jabez pray? God, expand my territory. To get to it, we got to go through it. As you go through it, as I go through it, with joy, with perseverance, it leads to maturity. Then our influence and many times affluence expands. We can help others go through the same. We're stronger. We're bigger. We're badder. We can swim with swagger because of me? Because of you? No. Because of Him. Because of God. The only thing that we possess is a free will. I'll say it again. The only thing we possess is a free will. Granted, God gave us the free will. We, though, possess a free will. We choose our choices. However, we cannot choose our consequences. I have a free will, so do you. Success occurs in life. Victory over temptation occurs in life. When I sink or nail my will to God's will. When I have God centration, it's about you, God. The bait's beautiful, yes, I know sin is fun. The hook is hellacious. I'm going to look past that to the thrashing, the splashing, the collateral damage, the hookup, the death. Because I know you have something better. Better for me. That's the positive part of temptation. Enjoyment, endurance, enlargement. Throughout this series called Shark Week, we've learned to walk on our knees. Boom, boom. It's the posture of power, not passivity. Luke chapter 18, verse 38. You heard it right here. That's the handles of today's talk. Jesus was passing by. The crowds were clamoring, freaking out. And a blind man said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What a prayer. That's your homework. That's my homework. That's our life work. You're at the office. You might have to go into a stall in the bathroom, hit a knee. "Jesus, have mercy on me." You're getting ready to go to practice. Go behind the stands. Kneel. "Jesus, have mercy on me." You're getting ready for some meeting at a boardroom in your office. "Jesus, have mercy on me." All the toddlers are pulling at you. "Mommy, mommy, mommy," draw away. Maybe to the family room and take a knee. "Jesus, have mercy on me." The power of prayer, the power of posture, the power of knowing God. To get to it, I've got to go through it. You're going to give me this stuff to do it. Lord, I'm shark weak, but where I'm weak, you're strong. I know temptation is something I've got to process. Temptation is for the best, not the worst. I'm going to look past the bait, past the hook, God, to your greatness. I'm going to consider it joy. I'm going to persevere in Jesus' name. And God, I know you're going to broaden my influence and affluence as I become your man, your woman, your student for this generation. I'm telling you what, I needed to hear that. How about you? Temptation. Temptation. Leverage it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Leverage it for him. Let's pray together. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. God, some people are dealing with some real stuff here today. Some stuff that I have no idea what they're processing. You do. Just like they have no idea what I'm dealing with. But God, the bottom line is we've gathered together to bow the knee before you and to say collectively, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me." God, from this day forward, just hammer these truths into our spirit. Enjoyment. Endurance. Enlargement. Give us the discernment and the strength to look past the bait, to take a look at the hook, and to see the result of going the enemy's way against the backdrop of going your way. Father, there's some people here I know who have never, ever, ever made a decision to follow you. People are packed here, and they're packed in Dallas, they're packed in Fort Worth, they're packed in Miami, they're packed in Plano. And it's time for many of you, I believe, to give your life to Christ. You can do it by simply asking him where you are, where you're seated, to come into your life. So I want to pray a prayer, and I want everyone, every single person, to repeat this prayer aloud with me. I know that many here have made this decision before, but it'll help others who've never made it to just articulate it to God. So pray with me. Some I know are praying for the first time. "Dear God, I confess my sins to you. I turn from my sin and turn to you, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross and rose again to give me life. And right now, I give you everything I am and everything I'll ever be. Reveal to me the amazing agenda that you have in store for me here and forever. In Jesus' name. Hey, let's give everybody a huge round of applause. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, very, very quickly, listen to me very quickly, make sure to pick up this booklet that I've written just for you. You've chosen to follow Christ, now what? It tells you, now what? This is crucial that you read this, that you become planted in the house, and that you understand the greatness of what God has in store for all of us. But let's face it, we're all shark weak. Where we're weak, He is strong. Temptation happens. But I'm telling you, to get to it, we got to go through it.
Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website.